Micro Language Lab, Learning the 6809, is a presentation of Green Mountain Micro.
In this lesson, I'm going to turn to video display synchronization achieved with interrupts. Please keep something in mind as you review these past two lessons. This may be the color computer you're using, but it's the 6809 processor you're learning to program. Although every 6809 processor is made with these interrupt capabilities and signals, those interrupt signals may be wired in a completely different way on another type of computer. Alternative internal wiring might also mean that the vectors in memory would be changed and that the timing of the interrupts would be more or less frequent. Chances are, except for the method used to turn interrupts on and off, which is a function of the 6809's condition code register, everything would be handled differently. Since you're learning the 6809 on the color computer, I know these programs will work for you. I constructed them that way. They have to work that way. But if you change computer systems, you'll have to apply the principles, but not necessarily the actualities of these interrupt learning sessions. Well, that said, so it's on to the practicalities of video synchronization. There are only two unique instructions left to talk about on the 6809, and these are sync and C-W-A-I, quay. Sync and quay are similar instructions. Both cause the 6809 to stop processing, that is, cease to follow program instructions and wait for an interrupt to occur. Sync, for synchronize, simply means turn the processor off, to the point of making it electronically invisible to the rest of the computer components. Sync is especially useful when connecting multiple computers to the same memory. You can't do that with a color computer because all the necessary connections aren't there, but sync makes it possible for some other 6809 computers to work as multiple processor systems. Like sync, quay also causes the processor to stop, but not immediately. Quay, meaning clear condition code bits immediate and wait for interrupt, first places all the registers on the stack and then sets the E flag. The E flag tells the processor that the entire machine state has been saved on the stack. The quay instruction also keeps the processor active with respect to the outside world. There's no invisibility with quay. The effective similarity between sync and quay, then, is that they both stop the processor's operations and wait for an interrupt to occur. The effective difference is that sync just stops the operation, whereas quay also presets the condition codes and saves all the registers. I'll be using sync for these demonstrations. You might be wondering why stopping the processing with sync would be preferable to the straightforward use of an interrupt, as I showed you in the last session. With sync, you can complete all the programming work you need for a change of video contents, then enter sync mode and wait for further instructions. The amount of time you've got for the program and the timing of the interrupts becomes more important as you write the program, but lets you write the program more effectively and lets the program itself work with very great efficiency. Let me turn back to the peripheral interface adapters, the PIAs, and their control registers. Open the book to page 200 here and follow along with me. Addresses FF01 and FF03 have the important information. Bit 0 disables or enables the interrupt request to the processor. That's a hardware function. Bit 1 sets the interrupt request A and B outputs based on whether the signal goes from 0 to 1 or 1 to 0. Those are called falling and rising transitions. 0 to 1 is rising and 1 to 0 is falling. Bit 2 establishes whether the PIA is being used as a data direction register or a control register, and that's established at power-up. Bit 3 is one of a pair of select signals for controlling the analog multiplexer, which has to do with the sound and other kinds of outputs. For that, you're going to have to refer to the technical manual. Bits 4 and 5 establishes CA2 and CB2 as output controlled by bit 3. And those are both 1 on the color computer at all times. You don't need to consider those. Bit 6 is an interrupt flag when CA2 and CB2 are used as input. And again, this is something not used on the color computer. And finally, bit 7 is the interrupt flag from lines CA and CB, and it's a vertical or horizontal TV synchronization. It's a lot of technical information, and only with some use will this begin to come into a picture that will make some sense. But now that you know this technical information, what are you going to do with it? And I've really got to continue in a technical mode here. This is one of those times when hardware does meet software inside a computer, and in order to program what you need, you've got to understand what's going on. The television screen display isn't a fixed image of some kind, but rather the result of a single, constantly moving electron beam aimed from the back of the tube and sweeping across the front of the glass. As the beam sweeps by, rare earth elements known as phosphors are excited by this beam, and they glow blue, green, or red. Depending on the mixture of the primary colors of blue, green, or red, technically called cyan, green, and magenta in this case, and also on our eye's persistence, that is, the ability to retain an image for a small fraction of a second, a complete multicolored picture seems to be formed on this display screen. If you look at the front of the picture tube with a magnifying glass, you can see the separate colors. By moving your hand quickly in front of the screen, you can see the image break up as your hand's outline is strobed by this changing screen image produced by the moving electron beam. Now, there's only one electron beam, and it's moving fast. It sweeps across the screen, changing color and brightness as it goes, then turns off, sweeps back, turns on, and draws the next line. It draws 262 lines on the screen altogether, and all the while, it keeps those lines separated by moving slowly down the screen. One screen full of lines is called a field. At television speed, slowly is only a comparative term because the beam goes from top to bottom of the screen 60 times each second. So on the color computer, that's a total of 262 lines, 60 times a second, or 15,720 lines drawn on the screen every second. What keeps all this happening at the correct time and keeps the beam at the correct place on the screen is known as synchronization. The electrical signal that tells the beam when to start each line across the screen is called horizontal synchronization, or horizontal sync. The signal that tells the beam when to get to the top of the screen and start the next field is called vertical synchronization, or vertical sync. Now, it would be simpler for me to read these words off as horizontal sync and vertical sync, but I'm not going to do that because I have to avoid confusing these hardware sync signals with the 6809 processor command sync. So I'm going to stumble over the words horizontal synchronization and vertical synchronization throughout this lesson. The MC6847 Video Display Generator, the VDG, creates those horizontal and vertical synchronization signals, and also another signal called field synchronization. Field synchronization is the time between the end of the active display, now that's the very bottom right of the green block that makes up the display screen, and the top of the screen, which is 25 horizontal lines before the start of the green block. That's field sync. The end of the active display to the top of the screen. For a complete look at all this, open your MC6847 Video Display Generator Data Booklet and turn to page 11. On page 11 of the MC6847 Data Booklet, you can see the relationship between the blank areas and the active display area. Take a few minutes and examine figures 13 and 14 in the VDG Data Booklet.
Turn to page 11 in the MC6847 Video Display Generator, VDG, data booklet, and examine figures 13 and 14, which present the active display area of the color computer. Familiarize yourself with the number of horizontal lines and their arrangement. Return to the tape when you have completed the reading. Turn the tape off now.
Okay, you've read this, but don't bite your lip. It will fit together very shortly. When you know about field synchronization and horizontal synchronization, you know two very important things. The first thing you know is the time when your processor is free to make its calculations, scan the keyboard, and so forth. That time falls between the end of the active display area and the top of the screen. And that time starts when the field synchronization, FS, goes from 1 to 0, and the time ends when FS goes from 0 back to 1. And the 6809 processor in your color computer can find out when FS changes. Okay, the second thing you need to know is when the beam starts at the left of the screen and when it ends at the right of the screen. It starts when horizontal synchronization, HS, goes from 1 to 0, and it ends when HS goes from 0 back to 1. The time when HS is off the screen is very short, however, about one CPU clock cycle, so in effect the important time is the start of the HS period, when HS goes from 1 to 0. And the 6809 processor in your color computer can also find out when HS changes. So here's an outline of the features as they relate to the software. First, FS, field sync, goes from high to low. That means you're out of the screen and free to calculate and perform other operations. 2. FS goes from low to high. You've got to start paying attention to screen lines. Step 3. HS goes from high to low. The screen has started. Step 4. Count 38 HS pulses and you're in the display area. 5. 192 HS pulses make up one active display area, one active screen. And finally, step 6, repeat all that 60 times and you've got 1 full second of programming. Now it's getting closer, but we still don't all have it together yet. Feed through the vertical or field synchronization to the processor's interrupt and execute the sync command. When it occurs, execute a vertical synchronization service routine. That routine should turn off the feed through and turn on the horizontal synchronization feed through. Create another interrupt service routine for the horizontal synchronization. Begin counting until you reach the top of the active display area. Then you can change the display and count screen lines in short programming bursts, ending each with sync. When you've counted 192 lines, the screen display area is completed. You can turn off the horizontal feed through, turn back on the vertical synchronization feed through, return to the main loop of your calculations, and more sophisticated programming. When that's done, you can execute sync again and wait for the process to start all over. In other words, you synchronize with the vertical display of the screen and count horizontal lines, and you know at every instant where the video electron beam is on the screen, and you can make changes in your video display on the fly. A practical example is the only way of understanding what this is good for and how to use it. Before that, though, please review the lesson so far. Reread the control register information in the MC6821 Peripheral Interface Adapter Data Booklet, and re-examine the screen outline on page 11 in the MC6847 Data Booklet. You also might want to review Lesson 22 if you're not absolutely certain about interrupts and service routines.
Review this lesson. After reviewing, read the control register information in the MC6821 data booklet, pages 7 and 8. Also, continue to become familiar with the screen outlines on page 11 of the MC6847 VDG data booklet. Return to the tape when you have completed the reading. Turn the tape off now.
Well, the practical example I've got for you is about as impractical as they come in some respects. It shows a bunch of random colors and shapes on the screen together with alphanumerics. There are standard letters and characters. They're black on green. High-resolution color graphics and some more characters, and these are black on red. Some medium-resolution color graphics and some more characters. The trick is that all of them are displayed on the screen at the same time. You've got standard letters and characters, high resolution color, reverse red characters, and medium resolution color, and more characters, all on the same time. Getting a mix of high resolution graphics and standard alphanumerics on the screen at the same time is a simple function of synchronizing and counting. If you synchronize to the vertical synchronization pulse, you know where the screen starts. If you synchronize to the horizontal synchronization pulse, you know where each of those 192 screen lines is. And if you're familiar with your graphics modes, as you should be by now, then you know what character is where, on what line, and what it looks like. Well, all that's left is the implementation. Sounds simple. My example presents two rows of alphanumeric characters, then a 192x48 block of high-resolution color graphics, then two more rows of alpha characters, but in red instead of green, then a 64x16 block of medium-resolution color graphics, and finally three rows of normal alpha characters. I haven't filled memory with anything in particular, so you'll just be seeing random junk, but the junk will be moving. Load the source code. I'll take you through it and then do some explaining.
Find program number 35 in the book and follow the instructions. This is an EDTASM Plus program. Turn this tape off until you are ready to load the program. Turn the tape off now. You should have loaded an EDTASM Plus program. Display this program using the P command and compare it to program number 35. If it appears correct, please continue with this tape. Otherwise, rewind to the program listing and try again.
This is a long listing, and partly because I've prepared this source listing to make full use of labels. Print the first screen full of lines. Start with me at the top. Internally, the MC6847 video display generator counts to 12, which is the number of horizontal lines that make up a single alpha character position. So I label 12 as row. The upper border is defined by the 6847, so I label that border. I'll be moving some display bytes around for effect. These moving display bytes will start at memory labeled high res and end at memory labeled vidtop. The remaining labels of key function addresses in the upper memory are there, some you've seen before. As you read in the 6821 data booklet, the horizontal synchronization interrupt is cleared by reading FF00, and the vertical synchronization interrupt is cleared by reading FF02, and I've used labels for those also, clear H and clear V. The actual synchronization interrupts are fed through to the 6809's IRQ interrupt request line by writing enabling information to ports FF01 and FF03, so I've labeled those HS port and VS port. The IRQ vector from high memory finds its commands as the operand of the jump at 010C, as you know. So 010D, which is the operand, is labeled vector. There are six SAM addresses that control the video modes, as you know. The odd addresses clear the mode bit to 0. The even addresses set the mode bit to 1, and you know all that. So mode bits 0, 1, and 2 are labeled vidclear 0 and vidset 0, vidclear 1 and vidset 1, and vidclear 2 and vidset 2. Finally, the port address for the remaining video controls is found at FF22, and I've labeled that vidport. Okay, now, display the last few lines of the program. Begin at line 1500. You'd want to type P 1500 colon star. Labels XStore, YStore, and StoreV are 2-byte groups set aside for temporary storage of video positions between vertical synchronization pulses. So now you know the pack of labels I've got here. I've tried not to clutter this listing with lots of comments, so follow with me now. The first block of code turns off all interrupts which may have been enabled somewhere in the course of BASIC and replaces the IRQ vector at 010D in RAM with my interrupt service routine. We've done that before. In the next block, horizontal synchronization interrupts are turned off, vertical synchronization interrupts are turned on, and the alphanumeric video mode is selected. So the expectation you would have here is that whatever the program does, it's going to display alphanumeric characters to start with. The X register is loaded with a pointer to the vertical synchronization service routine. Interrupts are enabled, and the processor enters sync mode. And that means it just sits and waits for a vertical synchronization pulse to create an interrupt. When that vertical synchronization pulse interrupt occurs, the interrupt service routine pointed to by X is entered. This service routine finds the proper service routine by performing a zero offset indexed jump based on the contents of the X register. Since X was pointed to the routine labeled screen, this routine is the one performed. The screen service routine performs a number of functions. It first clears the vertical synchronization latch, selects the alphanumeric mode, turns off the vertical synchronization feed-through, turns on the horizontal synchronization feed-through, clears the horizontal synchronization latch, and returns from the interrupt. So in other words, it returns with everything set up for being interrupted by the horizontal synchronization pulse this time. Okay, in other words, when the program starts, everything sets up and waits for the screen service routine, which identifies the top of the screen and sets things up for the 262 horizontal interrupts which are to follow, one for each screen line. The return from interrupt brings things back in the program to where the X register is pointed now to the line service routine. The B register is set up to count through the screen border lines, and 24 displayed lines. Remember, I'm talking about electron beam lines here, not the usual lines of text on the screen. Okay, interrupts are enabled, and the sync wait is on. The line service routine, arrived at through the zero offset index jump via X, merely clears the horizontal interrupt and returns. The B register is decremented, and if the selected number of electron beam lines is not yet counted through, sync is entered again. When the count is finished, the video mode is changed, the row counter recharged with a new value, and the sync state reestablished. There are 5 of these horizontal sync loops, and each changes the video mode after a specific number of horizontal lines have been completed. There's the trick. After the top border plus 192 horizontal lines, the active display area is complete, and interrupts are disabled by the program. A short byte move subroutine is called. You can put anything you like here. It's just so you can see something, and it debumps the display bytes around in the high-resolution area. Let you know something's happening. After the return from that byte-finagling subroutine, the process of vertical and horizontal synchronization starts again. Now, there are some important things to know, and some are absolutely critical. First of all, the horizontal interrupt occurs about every 63.5 microseconds, and that means you've got just about 57 clock cycles to perform your horizontal interrupt service routine. Loop 3 is the longest. I'll leave the calculations to you, but it just makes it. The other very critical thing depends on the value of B, and it's hex 44 in my example. And it's used to count bytes moved between vertical synchronization interrupts in that little byte blasting routine there. In this case, 44 is the highest number of moves I could fit between pulses of the vertical synchronization interrupt. Now keep in mind that this is a relatively crude demonstration of the possibilities of video manipulation. If you're interested in creating fast games or using powerful graphics capabilities, this method should give you as much power as any of the famous commercial game machines, those Ataris and those arcades you see in the bars if you go to those sorts of places. In any case, now try this program. Assemble it in memory by typing /IM/AO/NL/NS. Assemble in memory at the absolute origin with no listing and no symbol table display. That's /IM/AO/NL/NS. In a few seconds, the prompt and cursor will return. Quit the editor assembler by typing and entering Q. When the basic sign-on message appears, you're ready for the demo. Type and enter this. exec:H3F00. That's where it all starts. exec:H3F00. And there it is, your mixed-up, mixed-mode display with moving parts. Study the listing and review this lesson and the previous lesson. There's a lot packed into both of these, and I'm sure it's not going to be instantly clear as you do these the first time, so please review 22 and 23. Next time, the trials and tribulations of debugging, some hints and ideas, and a summary of what you have been learning in this course. Till then.